Amos chapter 4.
Oh, we already read it.
Do any of you remember what we talked about last night?
I was gone.
Where
was it? I studied about it all day.
Faith to faith.
What was it?
What faith is? Well, God says, as long as you have all these high places and all these little thingies in the high place, that you can get by without having faith, because it's not your fault. Understand? Because the temple hadn't been fully dedicated. The temple can't. And so that you have all these little high place thingies going on and little dramas that are going on in your secret places and all your subconscious activities and your value systems and your ideals and all the stuff that's an enemy of faith, but you didn't know you weren't supposed to have it. So you have all these little programs and ideas and plans for success and identities and all these dramas that are going on inside you, and they're competing for faith. But now we've had an experience and those places have been destroyed, allegedly, and you know their futility. Allegedly. Now, let's see what he says to you. You thought I was rough last night? Wait until you hear what this says. Verse 4. Remember all the places that were their high places, and they were legal high places. They were at Bethel and Gilgal and Shechem, and all these places in the promise. And the high places was where the Ark of the Covenant was for a while, or where they had ancient ancestral worship, and they had the bones and all that good stuff. And so all these places are there, and they're there in your subconscious mind. They're there in all men's subconscious minds. They don't know it, but they're there. And so listen, come to Bethel, high place, and transgress at Gilgal, another high place, multiply your transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Also, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth. In all your cities. You know what cleanness of teeth is?
You haven't had any food lately.
Famine.
Yeah.
What?
That's a funny way to say it.
Yeah.
My teeth are clean. I have hunger.
I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You starting to get the picture and its relationship to what's going on in our heads? Okay. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. Now these are all spiritual types of what takes place in the natural to all men. Not optional. I've smitten you. It's terrible to get smitten by blasting.
What is that? Some kind of,
huh?
Some kind of wheat disease or something? Or?
Your plant is diseased.
Yeah, blight.
I've smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. And yet, you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt.
Car accidents.
God's thrown down. Wow. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt, and your young men have I slain with the sword, And I have taken away your horses. Horses are always symbolic of your strength. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Do you understand what that means? It's the same thing it says in Jude. With some have compassion, saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Well, when we were in Gilmont, you were pulled out of the fire. Yeah. Let me read this again. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
Uh-oh.
I need to get
going. My mom's calling me.
Mom's calling. Boom, 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 boom.
Let me read that one again.
No.
No.
I gotta get one of my windows up my car, my brain.
Let me read that again. Therefore, this is gonna be, you know how certain little, it came to pass. Remember that one? This is gonna be another one of those.
No.
Now there's none of you except maybe
how
Libby.
Do that?
That can say that she doesn't understand, or you don't understand what I've just read in terms of its natural type of what's happening in the spirit, right? You can't get by with saying you don't understand it anymore. You can't say that was for the old guys. That was for Old Testament stuff. Right? You all understand it.
Crazy enough to say yes. That's a trick question.
What?
Trick question. Who dares say yes?
We know.
I dare you to say no.
Who dare you to say no? I am shut up.
Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Remember last night I told you that we were entering a new dimension? There's a whole lot of stuff that you could get by with earlier that you can't get by with anymore. There's a whole lot of things that you could say, I don't understand. You can't use that trick anymore. To whom much has been given, much shall be required. And the path will get far steeper than you've ever dreamed possible. And the way will get far narrower than you ever thought could exist. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Now notice the word. The God that treadeth upon the high places of the earth. Now, God has walked over your high places. I mean, remember I've told you when we studied the difference between touch and eat? And all the senses are intertwined. They're totally and completely intertwined, and you're designed with the five senses and the way they operate so that you can see the mystery of God for no other reason. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. The touch, you're commanded to touch, but not to eat, not to consume, not to get sustenance from anything other than the Father. But you, in order for that to happen, the way the enemy was destroyed in the Old Testament, the evidence that that enemy was destroyed is the victor came and placed his hand on the idols in the high place. And once he touched them, they lost their power. Understand? The trick of Satan in the garden was, God had told Adam that he could not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge or good or evil. He could not gain his sustenance from defining for himself what was good or evil, but he must continue to live in that moment of dependence and say whatever he needed, and whatever he said was done for him. He had no need. It was impossible. He had no idea that need could exist because he was only aware of God. Now, if you aren't walking in that dimension, you're not walking in God. Understand? When we are about to partake of Passover, the easy stuff is the leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy. That's easy. Now we've added the different leaven, which is the leaven of Herod, and the leaven of Herod is the seeing of lack. If there's in any dimension that you see lack in you or yours, then that is the leaven of Herod, because you haven't said. I mean, lack can't exist. If there is a need, if there's a stimulus, you speak it, and it's there. It's something out of nothing. A little bit of understanding?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we confess and burn the leaven prior to Passover, all leaven is burned. Now there's another leaven that we haven't even talked about yet, but I'm not going to do that yet. It's the leaven of the Sadducees. We'll do that next Passover if he delays his coming. Because we got all kinds of stuff. You know, I took all those notes? That's what we're going to burn.
The notes?
No.
All those
pillars.
Kinds of stuff.
I might burn the notes too. Just to make Bloom mad. So God is treading upon the high place. He wants you to be able to walk through the high places in freedom.
What does that mean?
You don't have to worry. They have no control over you.
There's no shame.
Okay, let's go some more. Let me read some more.
You almost have to visualize a scene of that where, like a pillar might, the cause and effect pillars are fear. You imagine a pillar of fear that you can just kind of cruise around and lay your hands on. There's no fear.
Yeah. It may be there, but you don't respond to it.
Yeah, it's there, but it has no power because you walked up and touched it.
Neutralized.
Yeah. It's like all of us, when we are younger, have all kinds of fears, right? I mean, you're afraid of the dark, or you're afraid of heights, or you're afraid of thousands of fears. But slowly but surely, you gain control over the fear by experiencing whatever it is that you were afraid of. And God's promise is, and not only promise, His demand, you might as well go out kill 6 million something, or have, if that's your bent, or whatever it is, because fear is the same as unbelief. Fear of anything.
Yeah, he loves him to go.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you, I mean, it sounds really, you know, how could God be concerned if, it says, no sudden fear shall come upon you. If a spider jumps out at you and you, I mean, you don't jump.
Oh, look, a spider.
If you are, I mean, I'm serious. God demands that there be no fear.
Amen.
there's fear, you might as well have, you might.
It's just unbelief.
It's unbelief. And the reason that sudden fear exists is to test your verbosity. Oh, I believe in God. This rattlesnake comes at you. Right, I believe in God.
Scud.
Scuds are different. Okay. Water moccasins. God makes an exception for water moccasins.
And brown reckless spiders.
No, he doesn't mean, no. Okay, let me go on. Hear ye this word, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. Now, again, remember, Israel just means she who sees God, the bride. The purpose of time and space is Israel. Not that funky piece of land over in the Middle East, but a new creation. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken. Upon her land there is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. You understand what that means?
No.
That's the
remnant. Winnowing. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, high place, nor enter into Gilgal, another high place. Pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Well, anyway, the whole thing. Then we'll go down to verse 18. Which is one of my favorite verses. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Now, do you understand what it means to desire the day of the Lord? It means to not see that today is the day of the Lord. It means to not see that today you are in the New Jerusalem. Today you are in heaven. Today the flesh has been ripped and you see nothing but that which is timeless and perfect. If you desire, you're a dispensationalist. And you desire, well, someday, God, something's gonna good's gonna happen to me. When I get on the other side of Jordan, it's gonna be good. Praise the Lord. No, it's not. Here's what it says. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into a house after running, is the imagery, and leaned his hand on the wall to rest, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Well, anyway. Do you understand the sense of what he's saying in Amos? All of the high places that were once acceptable for you to go up, and the high places is where you had all of your identities, all of your images, all of your value systems, all of your plans, all of your ambitions, all of the things that are an enemy of pure faith. They were okay for a while. You had to have them or you'd have died.
It's like the day of the Lord is like pillars, all done at once with no preparation and gotten right down to the root.
Right.
As bad as it was, could be worse.
Yeah, that was like a... Okay, now, Now, what is the promise of all this stuff? Let's go to Deuteronomy.
You know, one thing I was thinking was that all these different high places kind of served as each tribe's little individual identity. Yeah. And then when Jerusalem was temple dedicated, it's like the tribal thing is gone.
But they also had...
So everybody was...
Yeah, before we go to there, I want to show you something. Go to Ezekiel 16. Oh, it's that one. Yeah. In verse 23, and it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place or a high place, and hast made thee a high place in every street. I mean, it wasn't just the tribal ones.
Yeah.
You've ended up making you one in every street. Every house. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred. The beauty is the pure, non... God sees beauty only in your abandonment of self. When there is no value system. When you don't judge for yourself good or evil. Oh, I want to do this and I shouldn't do that. When you return to this position of abandonment of self, then God looks at you and sees only beauty, because he sees what? He sees Christ in you. Remember what I told you last night? As long as you look at yourself, then by self you will be justified. When you abandon yourself, you will be looking at Christ, and by you will get Christ judgment. This isn't, you can't decide to choose this. This isn't something you choose to do. This is an eternal fact that is equally applicable to all men on the face of the earth. Okay. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, verse 25, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
You spread your legs to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. He's talking about you going somewhere else than God to meet your needs. You have to understand what spiritual fornication is. Now, the world can never know this. The church in the United States can never know this, because they know nothing but to go. They're in Egypt. They're worshiping at the shrine of Egypt. They're worshiping the value systems of, you know, Kilikami for Christ and everything else. They cannot know this. But any time you go any place other than God to meet your need, whatever it is, you're committing fornication or adultery. Everybody clearly understand that?
Amen.
And it breaks the heart of God. You are without excuse. It's all right for somebody else to do it, because they don't know any better. All right. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. That's just the people around you, the system. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable, Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart? What does that mean? You're afraid. You're afraid of faith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. In that thou buildest thy high place at the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot, in that thou scornest hire. This is what, this, now we get to my favorite one. You're not just a whore, you're a dumb whore. But as, in that thou, and hast not been as a harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. Yeah, that's enough. Do you understand? Is there anybody that doesn't understand? Do you understand how you pay for it? Even though you're the one, I mean, in the world, the whore gets paid. She makes a living at it. You pay for it. And you call yourself a whore. How do you pay for it? Yeah, you know. Okay, now, you got all that in mind? Let's go look at some good stuff. Deuteronomy. What?
I don't call myself a whore.
Well,
now you do.
I do.
And you call yourself a whore?
Not generally.
Not lately.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy what?
Chapter 32. This is chapter 32 is the Song of Moses. And it's one of the last things that he did before he died. And it's promises and situations that'll happen, and it's really neat. But we're going to end up going now. Let me see, where should we start? Let's start in verse 1. That'd be the first start. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill on you, as is the implication, as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb. And as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean he's going to publish a book about it. You know what it means to publish the name of the Lord? He'll make it known in you.
Kind of like glorify it.
Yeah. In you. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They've just spent 40 years in the wilderness, right? They've now looked across and seen the promise. They see, they sense, they hope. But Moses can't make it across. And so he's giving them this song. And he's talking about they being anybody other than that vessel which lives in pure dependence on God. Okay? They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead them. And there was no strange God with them. He made them ride on the high places of the earth. Understand? That he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made them to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. And then the whole promise is gone. But he made, that's the promise, that beginning from the earliest times, that you either will ride in the high place, you will tread on the high place, you will be seated on the high place, you will place your hands in the high, it has no more power over you. But it has no more power over you only if you know it. You understand? Otherwise, you'll be tossed to and fro. Every little impulse that comes against you, every sensory perception that you are confronted with, every little need, oh my God, and the instantly you fall into cause and effect. Oh, here's what I need to do to fix this. God says, hey, I just destroyed your high place. How come you're going back to that way?
There's something there.
Capish? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy. I can say that.
Deuteronomy.
I can say that word. Deuteronomy. 33.
Double tray.
Verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. Now, see, we miss the implication in Hebrew. In the Hebrew it says, the eternal God is thy only, exclusive refuge. There is none else. There's no other place you go for help. You don't even go to me. You don't go to somebody else. In knowledge, the eternal God is your only help. And if you only depend on God, and I only depend on God, then have we fellowship one in another.
Amen.
If you don't, if you're depending on somebody else or this group of people, then you're just eating somebody else's flesh. You're gaining sustenance, especially in marriages. If you individually are not depending exclusively on God, then you're just eating each other's flesh and you'll consume one another. And you're saying, everything will be accusing. Oh, you should be this way. No, you should be that way. Oh, I'm this way. No, you're not. You're that way. It doesn't, forget it. Okay. You got it. He's your only refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. So now you're not only walking on your own, you're treading on theirs. You're stepping on Superman's cape, or whatever that song says.
You're spitting into the wind.
You're spitting into the wind, or doing something else into the wind. But you're not affected by your high places, but you're not affected by anyone else's either. No one can ever again put a trip on you. The promise of God is that the fear of you and the dread of you will be on every creature. Not because you're running around being some badass, but because there is this spiritual sense. And you'll be as comfortable in a White House as you are in a beggar's den or an outhouse. That's good.
White House and outhouse. I like the kind of symmetry.
Okay? Okay, let's go one more. Isaiah, or two more, or three more, some more. Isaiah 14. But you won't be, I mean, no. You can have high tea at the mansion. What? Oh, he missed something. Good.
Gary said, and it won't affect you.
Isaiah 14.
Gary's on a roll tonight.
No, let's not go there. Isaiah 58.
He's got to respond to Gary. Read those two.
What? Isaiah 58?
Yeah.
Verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure in my holy day. Now, the Sabbath is Jesus. It's not some day of the week. You've entered into His rest. And so you no longer do your own thing. Why? Because you've given everything to Him, and therefore everything is His. So your life is rest. You are the Sabbath because He is the Sabbath. Capisce? Mm-hmm. From doing thy pleasure in my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways. Now, what does that mean?
Not boring.
What does it mean not to do your own way?
It's not to consider your ways your own.
It's not to consider your ways your own. They never have been yours. But in the lying of your mind, you've seen things as separate. So in a flash, in an instant of time, you see you belong, and you're never doing your own thing.
And that's the key to what you've been saying, is that
freedom.
If you don't see it that way, then you won't go straight to your high place system, because
Amen.
That you won't be responding that way.
You don't give it any breath.
Yeah, you don't say, oh, I've got to do this, or what do I do now? It goes a different route someplace.
Your mind is short-circuited, and now you see Jehovah instead of Bali. You see, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Well, now how in the hell do you stop speaking your own words? Now that's really getting dumb. You recognize that they never were your words. What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Speak only in quotes.
Speak only in quotes. Who said that?
Josanna.
Josanna's disgusting.
Quote extensively. That's how you don't speak.
You footnote.
Speak
in parable. Parable is worse.
Forgive them.
Targum Oli's worse.
Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Yeah.
It's instantaneous.
Yeah. The heritage of Jacob is the land, so you'll possess the land.
And then there's another place. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear word.
Are you reading?
Some of you have got a lot of glory. What?
Where are you reading from?
God's going to cover your butt.
Yeah.
What?
God's going to cover your butt.
You didn't. Some of you got a lot of glory?
Oh, that too.
Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou cry, and he shall say, Here I am.
He
went backwards.
What?
He doesn't know how to read
backwards.
He wasn't reading in order.
What? Chinese Bible study.
Right. Back to Hebrew.
Swedish.
Didn't you get the rules of today?
Every third verse we skip back. Three verses.
Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. I don't want any fat bones.
Oh, neither.
That's the difference.
What?
In other words, there's skin and bones and there's fat bones.
There's fat bones. I think that means so many bones.
Fatten up
skin and bones.
No, it means that you'll be healthy.
Yeah.
As opposed to dry.
And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Okay?
Yeah, that's neat. Think about brainwave paths and stuff, too. Something.
That's enough. There's all kinds of those, but that's enough. Right?
Well, you're certainly making a lot more sense tonight, haven't you?
Poor you in trouble now. It makes sense.
Never trust it when John understands.
Yeah.
John has got the gift of Jacob. He has to struggle.
Struggle all day.
Okay. Any prayer requests? Needs? Take it, big guy. Finny. It's Finny.